This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, good afternoon, Mike. You look like it's wet outside.
Yes, it's rather damp, and there was a typhoon in the parking lot, and I had to swim halfway here to the front door. But
you were soaked.
You guys keep it, 95 degrees in here, for crying out loud?
Well, it says 75, but
I dried instantly as soon as I walked in the door.
Speaking of drying up.
Oh, yeah, drying up.
Kyle gave me some of the highs for tomorrow. These are the highs for various cities around our country.
Oh, around our country. So Maui, where's that at? Anyway, Maui.
I think it's an island.
Thursday high in Maui is only 84, so they'll probably be wearing sweaters. And Phoenix, Arizona, not Phoenix, Oregon. Oh. Phoenix, Arizona is 73 high.
Nah.
Denver's a balmy 53. And good old Rosenberg, 36.
We're going to be 36 high. For a high. The That's low tonight good. Is 34. Boy, it's a lot of temperature variance.
I don't believe that. It'll probably be 12.
12. Yeah. Oh.
But
oh,
don't believe me. I'm just a garden dude. So thanks for listening to the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. And it's a show to give you ideas for your yard and your landscaping and hopefully answer some questions if you do have them. And if you do have a question and you'd like to call at 673-4464, state your question and I'll give you an answer. And we'll both hope that it's right and it works for you, because I think I'm about 99.4 correct most of the time.
I'll give you 99.9.
I'm not that good. But at any rate, thank you for listening. And, you know, it's been a real, this is a real rainy winter day out there. And the week has been that way. I was wondering if we're ever going to, go back to our old ways of rain and cold. But, bingo, this week we hit the jackpot.
Yeah.
And,
we have rain all through next week as well. So
yes.
There we go.
Yes, yes. So rain in the valley and snow in the mountains. And I hope that snow piles up and just saturates the entire mountain ranges. And there's a slow melt all next spring and summer. And we still have snow in August up there at Crater Lake. I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah. You going to be around next summer doing the show too?
I don't know. I haven't made that final decision yet.
So I want to see if we're in extreme drought again.
We might be. Well, I don't want an extreme drought again. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. We got a new governor coming up.
That's right. So it'll be fine. But, we have been, under average precipitation the past 3 years, maybe 4 years, and our native trees, Douglas fir, have taken a beating. And if you drive out into the country in any direction where you get on one of these two-lane roads and you can drive fairly slow, under 75 for sure, and spot some of the Doug fir, especially the young ones that have turned brown over the last. Well, I started noticing it 2 years ago when we had that first dry summer. Some of the younger trees just don't have the root system developed, so it's not deep. So then as the soil moisture drops deeper, the roots aren't capable of rushing down there and grabbing that moisture.
They don't have much of a chance.
No. So we've lost a lot of Douglas fir, and I think there was an article in the paper here a week or so ago that talked about the Doug fir and some of the other conifers that we have that are there are stands that are dying simply because of the drought. And that's a
sad
shame.
Thing.
Yeah. And I'm really hoping and praying that we have a good wet winter and then following in the spring. And we go back to our old pattern of having at
40
least,
days of rain.
At least 40 days of rain. As long as, maybe 40 inches of rain. That would be, I think we... there's been a year or two we've had high 30s, but I don't recall a year that we've been in the 40s. There might have been before I kept really keeping track. But
how much did we get in that 64 flood?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
I don't
a tremendous amount, but the but in that flood, what happened was it was warm at the higher elevations and melted lots of snow and came rushing
it
down.
Came
rushing down the rivers and that's what brought it up. So had it remained very cold up there, we wouldn't have had that flood. It was that simple. Mm. So. But, yeah, like I say, as you travel around Douglas County on the back roads, you may see a lot of brown, not a lot, but, 20%, 25% of the stands of Douglas fir have needle damage. And when you see a Doug fir with 50% of the tree brown and 50% of the tree green, it's not going to recover. Mm. And it's something that needs to be removed, or if it's big enough, you could log it, or if it's just small enough, you use it as firewood. If it's on private property, of course, you don't want to do that on government property.
Well, you could try.
Yeah, you could try, but they might catch you and put you in jail for 100 years.
Something like that. Yeah. And let you go if you... Well, never mind.
Yeah. But anyway, like I said, I started to notice this stuff last year for sure, and the year before. The year before wasn't a lot, but you could tell. I was out in Dixonville doing a few jobs. There's a lot of ranches out there that have young stands of Douglas fir, and you could see the needles turning brown. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you thin your trees and give them some space, and if you have, for instance, if you have 500 trees in an acre of ground, and you can reduce that to say 100 trees in that same acre by thinning, you're going to have a better survival rate. And because there's not that much competition, mm-hmm. then for the water or the existing water that you might be there. So, but one year of below average rainfall doesn't cause these things. But like I said, we've had at least 3 years of below average precipitation.
Yeah.
And that's
been a long spell.
Yeah, it has. And, and like I say, once they get to a certain point, they're too weak to recover and gain their vitality and their their strength back in there. So
they're giving it up.
Yeah. And like I say, the majority of the dead ones that I'm seeing are, in the range of 10 to 20 years old.
Oh, my God.
And it's just because they haven't developed that root system that can get down there and get the moisture, where the older trees, some of the older trees on rocky, hard ground probably are suffering too. I've got a couple of clients up the North Umpqua. I've been driving up there about once or twice a month and doing some things for them, and you can see not counting the fire damaged ones, but you can mm-hmm. see where the green ones that are still there are suffering mm-hmm. because of it, and they may recover if we get sufficient moisture. So that's a good thing.
Seems like we're getting a lot now.
Oh yeah. I tell you what. But, mature trees like 50 years or older have a better success rate, and then the bugs, of course, if you've got a weak tree, there's the bugs, the borers, and things like that will attack that tree in wholesale, and whatever life they have in them, those like borers, for instance, they'll suck all that right out, and then the tree goes, ah. But the other thing is, too, I've seen oaks and maples and even some madrones having some premature leaf drop.
Oh.
And that's a built-in defense system in the trees so that they experience that. And then so naturally they'll have that premature leaf drop to get into the next year. If there's no leaves, that means there's no activity within the tree, so consequently the tree shuts down early in the year rather than regular fall or shutting down in August because it's just been way too hot and too dry.
Save some of that energy.
Yeah, and that way they're able to survive to the next year. But still, I've seen a little bit of that on my property and other properties. And I live out in the Olala area. And, there's still a lot of timber out there, but there's also a lot of madrone. Now, the madrone don't seem to die, but the leaves, they they have a lighter green to them, and then
not if, so reddish.
Well, they're usually deep green, the leaves.
Yeah,
But if they start fading in color, you know that tree is under stress, because normally they don't do that. In a normal year, they don't do that. And just keep an eye if you, especially have some rural property, keep an eye on your trees and see what's happening, and if you need to thin some of them out to reduce the amount of root systems that are active in the ground, that will help. Less trees per acre, that helps. That's why thinning is a good forestry operation. It will grow trees faster, bigger, and better, but keep them from dying in drought. Totally, but it gives them a better chance. But if they're weak, that's what happens. Now, on the other hand, I've seen some pines and cedars and drones surviving in real dry soil, and they're very hardy. They're very tough. I mean, you can see pines and cedars growing over in eastern Oregon, where they get, maybe 20% of the moisture that we get.
And it gets hot over there.
It gets hot, but it's pretty fast draining soil because it's a sandy base.
Oh,
and
whereas
I don't know how deep the sand goes. I mean, some places it probably goes, 5 feet, maybe 10 feet, and then some places might only go a foot. So it just depends on how much the root system is developed and where can it go and what kind of moisture can it have. But they're normally the dry land trees anyway, so that's good.
So they have a better chance.
And then there's native shrubs that are also taking a hit from these dry conditions. And they have pretty deep root systems normally, and they'll survive better than the trees, but they will defoliate sooner than normal. In other words, like vine maple, for instance, it's a tough, very tough shrub, small tree, however you want to classify it. But as it dries out and stays dry, well, like I say, the tree's self-defense mechanism says, hey, it's time to shut down. It's time to, get rid of these leaves. And so they have that premature
take
leaf
a breather.
Drop. Yeah, take a breather here. Let's get into next year. We'll take a breather But they still will defoliate, say, a month earlier or maybe 3 weeks earlier than normal. With much rain this winter, they're going to hopefully recover to their normal growth cycle. So that's a good thing.
Well, they got a good start this year.
Yeah, and I'm the rain is a hassle to drive in, especially when it's dark and you got a lot of traffic out there, and there are some people who go too fast.
Yeah. And you can't see very well anyway.
Yeah, especially when they're on my bumper and I'm doing 55 in a 55 zone, and they're almost in my back of my pickup.
I just wave at them.
Yeah, well, I feel like waving, but I don't.
One finger?
No, all of them. But having written and done research and been paying attention to these drought conditions, you might say, well, what type of a landscape can you create in your yard that's not going to need a lot of water and keep it alive and beautiful?
Can we do that on the other side of the break?
Yeah, we can, and I've got some solutions for
you. All right, we got a cliffhanger.
Yes.
What's our phone number, Mike?
673-4464.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, looking for a low at 34 this evening with a high tomorrow at 36.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right. It should be colder.
Than 34?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's if your high is 36.
Yeah.
It should probably be 24, I could understand.
Yeah, 31 tomorrow night, but that's still not a very much variance.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to talk about what you can do with your yard.
Yes, we are. And, you know, as I said in the last segment, you can create a beautiful yard even if the water situation and the heat is, we have a call.
We do have a phone call.
Well, hello.
Hey, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Thank you. Hey, Mikey.
Yes.
The moss is eating my grass again. What do I do about moss in the winter?
Well, you just let it die in the winter. I mean, if it gets cold, it'll die of its own accord.
It's bright green, and it eats way right at the edge of my yard.
Is there a lot of it or just on the edges?
It's just on the edges, but last year it did damage.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You could, if we do have a dry spell, like a day, you could take some moss killer out there and give it a good spray. You know, if the directions say 1 tablespoon per gallon, do 2 tablespoons per gallon and just concentrate it on the moss and just soak them really, really well, and that will certainly help. Sometimes Weed and Feed does the same thing, and that would be easier to apply, actually, and just wear rubber gloves and put a half a however big it is, just really saturate it with the Weed and Feed, and that will have a detrimental effect to it as well. And then when it's totally disintegrated and it's bare ground, you go ahead and reseed those bare areas and cover it with a little bit of compost, and it should come back for you next spring.
You're so full of information. I just think the world of you, Mike.
Well, thank you.
And I want you to know that I am your best Duncan. You know that.
Your best Duncan? Do you have a donut factory, by the way?
I had 2 today.
Oh, and this must be Uncle Bill then, huh?
It is, and I'm going to go home right now because I got some Weed and Feed, and I'm going to dump it on that stuff, and if it doesn't grow, I'll see you next week.
Well, okay.
It's a date.
Thank you for the call, Bill.
Goodbye.
Thank Bye-bye. You. Bye. Boy, I thought he was going to say something else. I had my finger on the button.
Yeah, well, he's the type of guy to say it, too.
Would he?
Yeah. Oh, Bill, I met him when I was a county commissioner, and he's always harassing me, always giving me a bad time, but I put up with it. No, he's a good guy. Oh, gosh. So the colorful landscape you want to have when there are drought conditions, and there are plants that can take that drought, dry, hot stuff, and I've got a list of them here, and I'll tell you a little bit about them. But there are basically hundreds of plants that don't require a lot of water, and you must choose plants that can thrive in less than ideal conditions. And that doesn't mean grass and lawns, because you have to really pump a lot of water to a lawn and to keep it green and keep it alive. Whereas these shrubs I'm going to tell you about and these ground covers, they just don't need that much. And so you might think, well, how do I redesign my yard or reduce the size of my lawn if I have one, and just put it in shrubs and ground covers that can survive without a whole bunch of care. So, but the first step, whatever you do, is soil prep. Make sure that whatever you plant has a good soil mix, and I've spoken about that 100 times at least. But if it's clay or, you know, rocky soil, add some compost in each planting hole. Make the holes large. Don't think a little small hole just the same size as the pot will be good, but a hole that's at least twice the size of the root ball is a good start, because that way the new roots can get going into your good, beautiful potting soil that you put it in. And they'll be very quick, and they'll retain soil moisture better, actually. And when you're the first year, you know, you're going to be watering a little bit, maybe once a week on average, or maybe once every 10 days, depends on the soil mix that you do and your location, whether you have shade or it's full sun or anything like that. But the second year and all subsequent years after that, you're not going to have to water hardly at all. You know, it's just like I've experimented with my plants out at my home, and you know, the first year a little bit of help there, maybe once a week, something like that. But the second year, maybe once a month, and the third year, not at all. If they can't grow on their own after the third year or after the second year.
Good riddance.
Yeah, good riddance. I'm not going to keep you anymore. So there, hit the road, Chuck. But, you know, like I say, there's a heck of a lot of plants. You know, there's a lot of juniper, a lot of mugel pine, conifers, and things like that. But they're not on the list today. Those are good. And you can retain that soil moisture even in dry times for, like I say, at least a week or possibly 10 days. So, and then the next step is to shop for tough plants, you know, stuff that's tough. And usually the plants have a label on them and say, well, it'll take this and in dry conditions and full sun and that kind of thing. But if it doesn't have a label, you ask the person at a whatever nursery you're at. And hopefully they'll have an answer and say, yeah, this is a such and such a plant, and it will survive in the hot sun and doesn't need water, and give you some explanation that and some instruction that you can follow and have success with your planting. So, but I comprise a small list, and I mean, there, okay. Like I say, there are hundreds of these things, but it would take me 4, 5, 6 weeks to tell you about them all. But the small list of plants that will do well in the summer, mm-hmm. in the drought, and in the winter. And so for ground covers, for instance, there's Candy Tuft. It's a good tough plant with a carpet of white flowers and spreads like wildfire. And it really makes a great... just a great mass of color, and it blooms, it blooms for months in the spring.
Jeez.
And sometimes in the fall, depending on the weather conditions. If it's not too hot, like in August, and then maybe starts to cool off a little bit in September with some rain, you could have a second bloom clear into about November.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Not like a spring bloom, but you would have some color in it. And it grows, you know, say 6 inches tall, but it spreads. I mean, one small plant can spread 4 or 5 feet easily.
Jeez.
So you don't have to.
You don't need a whole lot of them.
No, you don't have to crowd them up.
Yeah.
You don't have to put them 1 foot apart or anything like that to make a carpet out of them. But, you know, a couple, 3 feet apart and triangulate. That means if you have a line, one straight line, and then you're going to do a second row of them, you split the difference between the ones that you planted in the first row, and you form a triangle of plants.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
I thought you would.
Yeah.
If you didn't, I was going to draw you
draw,
a picture
draw
in
me
a barrack.
Picture. Yeah.
But it's a great little plant. Now, and if you like blue flowers, then there's ice plant that would be a good one.
Oh, those are pretty.
They are beautiful, and they are tougher than nails. And all of this, once it's been in the ground about a year, maybe 2 years at the most, you don't have to mess with it anymore. You can, you know, July turns hot, August turns hot, you know, give them some water just to make them, you know, look fresher or something like that. But they'll survive without it. That's the beauty of these.
Yeah.
And think of your water bill. Think of more people, more houses, and all the water that's being used. And as that is being used, you wonder, well, my water bill went up again. Well, they raised it again because there's only
many people wasting it.
Well, there is. And that's what I've tried to explain all these years about wasting water. They don't need it every day, trust
Stop
me.
Stop watering the sidewalk.
Yeah, for sure, and the street. Oh, my gosh, that drives me up a wall. But, you know, once they're established, you're not going to have to mess with them. Maybe water them 3 times in the summer, you know, once in July, once August, and maybe in September, something like that. And because June, it's still pretty cool. We have pretty cool nights, and we get occasional rain in June.
Yeah.
And so they're good. And the ground cover covers the ground, so the soil's not exposed, so the sun is not actually hitting the soil. The plants are shading the soil, so it keeps it cooler and damper longer.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. And you just kind of do some experimenting and try some of those things. But the ice plant, yeah, mm-hmm. they have the blue flowers. When they're blooming, they're kind of a blue purplish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not quite blue and not quite purple. They're just kind of a mix of both. And what I like about them is that, and frost doesn't hurt them, snow doesn't hurt them.
Sounds like that vine I have.
Yeah, just like your vine. Only I don't think your vine blooms.
No, but, not yet.
But like on the ice plant, though, what's cool about it is when the sun goes down in the summer, the flowers fold up.
Really?
Yeah, they close. Hmm. And then when the sun hits them in the morning, they open back up.
Good morning.
Yeah, I thought, man, the first time I saw that, I became aware of it. I went, wow, what a cool plant. it just does what it wants.
It's got a mind of its own.
It's got a mind of its own. So if you were to mix candy tuft and ice plant, you'd have this blue and white carpet, you know, all around, and you could have some boulders mixed in there with it, and they could creep around the boulders. And it's like a no-maintenance kind of operation.
You know, sounds like a plan,
Sam. Think about mowing your lawn once a week, watering it three times a week, fertilizing it once a month, compared to, I don't have to mess with this, and it's pretty and it's green.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's how that goes. But like I say, they're very, very showy when you mix together. And maybe an old log. Get an old driftwood log from the coast or up the North Umpqua along the river that's kind of gnarly and beat up and gray. And, you know, it just looks old, and or an old stump that looks really. And you pop that in the middle of this planting bed and then plant these little ground covers all around it and go, wow, how cool. You know,
it's, give it life again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It just looks good. You're creating a masterpiece, and you can do it in a small area, you can do it in a large area, but like I say, they both grow very fast, and they'll cover that country in no time at all. You'd be amazed at what
they do. Speaking of fast, we got to have another break.
Another break? Boy, you're just pushing me, man.
I know it. All righty, we'll be right back, and our phone number once again there.
673-4464.
News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're talking about miles per gallon. No, we're not.
We're talking about water per plant.
Well, there you go.
See, I knew you'd get it. You got to listen to me better.
I know it.
Oh, golly. And the whole purpose of this, what I'm sharing with you today is, number one, you know, save the water, and your water bill is going to be a lot less than normal. And, you know, if more people practice these kinds of landscaping habits, we're not going to run out of water. We're not going to, you know, unless we've got, you know, 500,000 people in here or something like that. But it saves you water bill, and you're not wasting anything. And that's good. Whereas, like in a lawn, you're pumping it to it. Well, in normal years, when we had normal rain every winter and spring, and sometimes in the fall, we weren't watering our lawns as much. And of course, I've ranted and raved about overwatering on lawns and watering in the heat of the day and those kinds of things. And if you practice good gardening practices, you won't use as much water, and your plants will be healthy, whether it's lawn or ground covers or any of that stuff. The two plants that I was speaking about earlier there, the candy tuft and the ice plant, you can also use them like in a hanging basket. You can use them in pots on the patio. They'll look good, and they're a lot less work that way as well. So, or put them, if you have a retaining wall and you're holding back a part of your yard, put them behind the retaining wall, let them grow there, and they grow over the wall, decorate the wall, and hold the bank in at the same time. Now, there are, of course, plants that are a little bit larger. Now, I was talking about these, the ground covers, you know, low to the ground, 3-4 inches max. And spread, but they spread really, really well. So you might want a few taller plants mixed in there, and so they can be added in or planted in a separate bed. And one of my favorites, of course, are daylilies. This is another no water needed type of plant, and they come in a lot of colors. They love sun, and they, like I say, they don't need much water after the first year. The first year is the critical year. You just want to get them going. You want that root system to be established. And so consequently, that second year after they spend a winter in the ground, all of a sudden they're kind of on their own. If you feel sorry for them in August, you could give them a shot of water, but they really didn't need it. And like I say, they come in a lot of colors. They love the sun. They love the heat. And they'll do good. And they're compatible with what I've been speaking about. And anytime I talk about groups of plants, they're all compatible with one another. You can all, there's not one that you have to do special things to versus a little on this one and a lot on that one. When I talk about a group of plants, they're all compatible and they all will use the same type of watering technique or soil and those nice. Fertilizers.
So one won't eat the other, so to speak.
Exactly. They won't cannibalize. I knew there was a word there. They won't do that. But these daylilies, when they bloom, they have knockout colors, and they come in oranges and reds and yellows and whites and I think purples. I've seen some purples. And they almost look like a desert plant. They have kind of a long green leaf that's not very wide, maybe 3/4 of an inch, 1/2 inch to 3/4 of an inch in there. And they lay flatter to the ground. An old one that's been in the ground, say, 5 to 10 years, it might be from tip to tip, it might be 3 feet around, but it's only 10 inches tall, but the flowers are up 2 feet. They come up from the center, and it'll just be full of flowers. And they're just make a bright spot in your yard. And like I say, you can incorporate them with the ground covers or not. And you can have all kinds of color there, and it'll last, you know, quite some time.
Nice.
Yeah, and it depends on, and they're evergreen, of course. And like I say, the leaves are, I'd say, like a large grass-like leaf in that they're 1/2 inch to 3/4 of an inch wide. So, but and they'll spread, like I say, probably 18 inches to 24 inches on average. You know, the green leaves will spread that far. So you can plant these things about 3 feet apart and have a good cover in no time at all. You can make a whole bed of just lilies and daylilies, and for the, you know, the front entry or the entryway, you might have a porch with about 4 or 5 steps, and you've got a planter bed that's, you know, 4 feet wide or, you know, 15 feet long, you know, a whole load of daylilies in there mixed with these other ground covers would just be knockout. And they're no maintenance, no to low maintenance. Think about that. You don't have to have a lawnmower with these things. You know, that's the cool part. You know, I like lawns. I like grass. You know, it looks good. My grass in front of my place, as I've said 100 times, it's green from about... No, it's starting to green up right now that we've had all this rain, and it'll stay green until about the 1st of June, then it's brown. I don't care. I just mow the brown grass, and it's neat. It's clean. It's brown. So what?
Okay, Dad.
I like the color.
You sound like my dad.
It's okay. I know it's going to turn green.
Yeah.
I don't have to mow it every week.
There you go.
And I fertilize it very little anymore, so if they can't make it on their own, hey, I'll do something else.
Find another technique.
Yes, I they got techniques. I do all kinds of experiments in my yard. So, and like I say, the colors on the calla lilies and yellow, orange, red, purple, white. I mean, there's probably in between colors with hybrids that they're always manufacturing, but they just make a great show, and they don't require a lot of water. And it's a great rock garden plant. If you have a rock garden with big boulders and different kinds of rocks and maybe some old burn-up logs or something like that, and they make good border plants. Let's say your driveway is on one side of your property and you've got, say, a four-foot bed from the edge of the driveway to the neighbor's fence or something like that, mm-hmm. that's a great place for them. They'll do real well there because you're not going to have to mess with them. You're not going to have to fuss with them. They're just going to
They'll just do their thing.
Do their thing, and like I say, it's no to low maintenance all the time. And
that sounds good to me.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what people are looking for. More and more as people have come in the nursery over the years, you know, way back, say, in the 70s, man, we want this and then we want that and we want that.
And we want the real grass.
Yeah, and I've created some really extensive landscapes simply because that's what the people requested. But then time goes by and they say, they'll call me up and say, can we reduce some of this work that we do?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
is there a way to, you know, and I'll go and give them a consultation or something like that and say, well, if we did this and this and took out a bunch of this lawn and put it into these kinds of plants that I've been speaking about, you know, that's going to reduce your overall maintenance. And
yeah.
You can actually go on vacation for a week and nothing will die.
There you go.
Or maybe even 2 weeks. But
the deer will take care of it.
Yeah, yeah. another good plant that goes along these lines that I'm speaking about, they're called red hot poker plants. And they have
Mama Mia, what a name.
Yeah, and they have a long stem, maybe 2 feet tall, and then the top is like an orange red. And that might be, and they'll stay in bloom most of the summer.
Is that right?
Yeah. Wow. And they look like they belong in the Mojave Desert, you know, and they would fit in with the plants that I was just speaking about. Mm-hmm. But
you could have a red, white, and blue.
Oh, yeah, you could.
There you go. Could. All American.
But the hot poker plants, I mean, they just, they're good. I mean, they're simple. They're easy. Don't mess with them. Put them in the ground and they just go, thanks, that's all we needed, room to grow.
Yeah.
And they hate water, but they're very, very decorative. And
so they're similar to cactus in that respect.
Exactly. They will, if you looked at them, you say, well, it looks like a cactus, some sort of a cactus plant.
Oh.
And okay. And it wouldn't surprise me if you went into Arizona or New Mexico and you could find them growing wild out there in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe not Nevada, but higher elevations maybe.
I was going to say China, but
no, I don't think they grow in China at all. but desert to semi-arid kind of
that's true
country,
absolutely.
And like I said, the leaf structure is similar to the daylilies, with the slender, long green leaves at the base, and they kind of spread.
Yeah,
and then the flower, and it's multiple flowers. It's not just one flower that comes up out of the center of the plant. When it's as it matures, you might have four or five flowers out of one plant, and like I say, they go up about 18 inches, 24 inches, like that, and then the top 6 to 8 inches is orange red, hot orange red. It really is a
nice.
It's a cool plant.
Yeah,
it fits
sounds
well
like
in
it.
In the rock garden kind of no maintenance kind of thing.
Atmosphere or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And just remember, not only is it attractive, but it needs a little water once it's established, and you're good to go. And just enjoy after that.
Speaking of good to go.
Okay, we're going to take a break.
We're going to go away for a minute. What are we going to talk about on the way back?
Same kind of thing. I got more things to talk about, more plants that will do the job for you, and you don't have to water them.
All righty, and our phone number once again.
673-4464.
Bingo. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
QEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
According to our good old computer here, it appears to be 44 degrees and cloudy.
It's not raining?
Yes. Well, not according to this, but I haven't looked outside.
That's a machine.
That's a machine. It don't know what.
It doesn't know
anything. It doesn't know its leg from its head.
Yeah, I know, and you can't tell where they are either. Anyway, onward with my tough plants.
Yes. Yeah,
tough plants, don't water, don't mess with them type plants that are beautiful. And the third one I'm going to discuss with you is called rock rose.
Rock rose.
Rock rose. It's a ground cover type thing.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like a rock band.
Well, it is. It's Rock Rose. Yeah. But this guy is evergreen, has showy flowers from spring to early summer and sometimes in the fall. And as I was doing my research with him, I got the Western Garden book, which is like the encyclopedia of the plant world. I counted 16 different varieties listed in the Western Garden book.
Jeez.
And that was just, you know, for the West Coast. I mean, they don't have East Coast stuff. Mm. It's the Western Garden book. I'm sure they have one on
for Eastern
in New York called the Eastern Garden book. But you know.
And but no China joke there.
No
so.
China jokes. But flower colors vary from pink to white. And when they're blooming, I mean, they're solid blooms. You can hardly see the leaves because there are so many blooms on them. And they just thrive in the hot, sunny locations. And they need, again, little to no water after they're fully rooted or after the first year, whichever comes first. And some varieties can bloom, like I say, in the fall as well, because if we have a kind of a cooling off to where we're down in the 60s or way down in the 70s, something like that.
That'd be feel like summer right now.
Well, yeah, and it would. But they can start to bloom a little bit again, not like a spring bloom, but you still see some color. And like I say, they vary from pink to white and in between. Light pink, bright white, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're fully rooted, they just go fast. They good ground cover. If you got a small bank or something, and you don't want to plant on it, you don't want junipers or anything like that. Plant something like this or the other ones that I was speaking about. And after a while, I mean, it's a no maintenance or low maintenance kind of landscape that's pretty.
And it's not that expensive.
Exactly. Yeah. But they also thrive in these hot, sunny locations, and exactly no water, little to no, and when they're fully rooted. And they like I say, some of the varieties, of the 16 varieties, they can bloom in the fall as well. And I wouldn't put them on a real steep slope, but something that's, moderate to small. And they'll do good. And they're also cold hardy. And these other plants I'm speaking about, they're cold hardy. I mean, the Snowmageddon we had a few years ago didn't kill any of these plants.
Is that right?
Right.
Nice.
They looked a little ragged when the snow finally melted because it was on there for a week or so.
Yeah.
And the ground was frozen down into the roots. But as soon as it warmed up again, very quickly you start to see life coming back into them. Mm-hmm. And so... if you have another winter like that and you go, oh my gosh, the plants are going to die because it's so cold, you don't sweat it. These are hardy both ends of the spectrum, from the cold to the hot. And like I say, the rock rose is fast growing.
Rock rose. Interesting name.
Yeah. And they don't look like a rose at all.
Is that right?
Right. They're like I say, ground cover. Some of the varieties can get up, as the book said, some of the varieties can get up to about 3 feet tall, but I've never seen one that's 3 feet tall. And the ones we grew at the nursery, they get into maybe a foot tall in time when they're mature, but they spread very quickly. Mm. And that's what you want for a ground cover or a rock garden or something like that. And
you don't want to wait 2 or 3 years,
right? And I've seen them in people have used them as small hedges as well. And so that makes you can square them up or round them up and use a hedger and keep them in a nice little line. And but since they grow so fast, you're going to be hedging at least once a month to keep them that way. But I've seen it and it looks good.
It can be done.
So along the driveway or along a walkway, a sidewalk or something like that, they're good. And size-wise, like I said, depending on the variety, they range, like I say, almost to some of the larger ones. They can be 3 feet tall. The varieties I'm speaking about are, maybe a foot, maybe 18 inches max. But one plant can grow 6 feet wide.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and it just kind of roots and roots and roots and grows new
stems.
That's
one heck of a plant.
Oh, yeah, it is. And if it's left unpruned. And just remember, these plants They don't grow because of us. They grow in spite of us.
Yep.
Don't ever forget that.
And Mike Winter's quote.
Yes. And that's from Lee Hunt, my botany instructor at Umpqua College many, many moons ago.
A wise man.
Yes, very wise. Verbena, another favorite of mine. Very tough ground cover, lots of blooms, lots of blossoms, and it likes hot sun, and it's a good erosion control plant, and needs, again, very little water. Wow. I can probably save you $200 a month on your water bills if you listen to me and plant these plants for
now. Listen up, so.
But they can make they don't grow really fast, but they make a nice little kind of wild little teeny hedge along a driveway again or fence line, or you can put these in hanging baskets or in pots. They just grow anywhere. And some of them, you know, you'll have a rock retaining wall, and some of them will root down into the rock, in the cracks of the rocks, and grow and continue to grow and kind of decorate the rocks.
Yeah. But that's got to be a secure foundation there.
Oh, yes. Yes, it ain't going anywhere, baby. Oh, geez. But I planted some around my koi pond in the rocks, and I can't remember the last time I watered them. I mean, it's been years. And they're looking good. They just grow. They wave at me when I walk by.
The otters didn't get them. Huh?
The otters didn't like those. They just wanted my fish. But the otters have not been back.
Nice.
Thankfully. I hope they never come back.
Your wife really ticked them off, apparently.
Yeah, they didn't like her. Didn't like her attitude toward them at all. And then if you want something larger, and you want something, you know, and these are just, this is off a... There's another 75 to 100 plants that will do the same things that I'm speaking about, but this is the stuff that we have here in Douglas County that works in Douglas County, or, you know, most of Oregon, that kind of thing. But the real kicker is you got your finger on the trigger there. What's that mean?
That means we're almost out of time.
You're kidding me.
Bingo.
We're out of time already?
Yeah.
I want another hour.
Go talk to Kyle.
Yeah, well, thank you for listening. I hope you learned something. I'll be back hopefully next week.
Oh, you will be.
Okay, good.
All right. All right. The Afternoon Report is up next. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.